Amen. It's a joy to be here today. It's a joy to be anywhere today when you're getting up in a few years on you. And I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord today to be with you. Turned with me to Acts chapter 4. Again, it's a joy to be with this wonderful pastor, Brother Sister Stein. And we've been here, this is about our third visit, I think. And we was with you about a year ago, and I don't know, something looks different and better this year. I don't know, I'm thinking about it, enjoyed the music and singing, and looks like a few more people are here attending, looks like. And it's just, I don't know, you just, there's a change, I sense, for the better. I just enjoyed the service even more today. I have someone sent me an email and it got my attention. It said, "Beware of terrorist groups in the church." And I thought, well, what in the world is that? It said, "Latest news report are that 5 terrorist cell groups have been operating in many of our churches." They got Bin Laden, right? They have been identified as Ben Sleepin, Ben Arguing, Ben Fighting, Ben Complaining, and Ben Missing. Their leader, Lucifer Ben Workin, trained these groups to destroy the body of Christ. The plan is to come into the church disguised as Christians and do the work within the church to discourage, disrupt, and destroy. However, there have been reports of a 6th group, a tiny cell group known by the name of Ben Praying, and said they are the only effective counterterrorism force in the church. Unlike other terrorist cell groups, Ben Praying does whatever is needed to uplift and encourage the body of Christ. We have noticed that the Ben Praying cell group has different characteristics than the others. They have been watching, been waiting, been fasting, been longing for their master, Jesus Christ, to return. Is that good stuff or what? Let's give the Lord praise for the truth. Amen. I have one more short one. When you carry the Bible, Satan has a headache. Just pick it up and it gives him a headache. When you open it, he collapses. And when he sees you reading it, he loses strength. And when you stand on the Word of God, Satan can't hurt you. I think that's a pretty good one too. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise for the truth about his Word. You love the Word of God? Amen. All right, in Acts 4, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? As we get into his word today, thank you, Pastor, for inviting us in again. And we're looking forward to the prayer conference tonight up there. It worked out real good for us to come this way and then go on over there. Verse 1, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold until the next day, for it was now eventide." Notice verse 4. "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed." You know, faith cometh by hearing the word. "They that heard the word believed." Are you going to hear the word today? I believe you are. "Many that heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. I tell you what, they were seeing some church growth, weren't they? Now in verse 23, kind of following through here, "And being let go," they let them go, "they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them." I want you to notice they lift up their voice to God with one accord. It's important that we worship. All of us worship. You know, if you got one worshiping, the other one's not worshiping, you know. But if we all get in accord in the Spirit and start worshiping God, big things starts happening. And they praise the Lord all down through there. And verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Lord, Holy Child Jesus. But look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, everybody say, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them aught of the things which they possessed was his own, and all the things in common. Verse 33, and with great power gave apostles witness of the resurrection, and great grace was upon them all. Now going back to verse 31, this is an unusual verse, because you got Peter, who's been let go, coming back into this body. No doubt others that had already received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost were there. And he's in among them. And when they prayed, it said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's unusual, isn't it? It didn't say refill. It said filled. I guess it's the same thing, but it says filled here. So what that says, there's one baptism, Acts 2. Many fillings. Acts 4 is an example of that. Just because you got the Holy Ghost once don't mean that you don't need to be filled once in a while. Amen. Is that right? Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we just ask that you bless your people, Lord, and let it be a special time in the Lord this morning, God, because we know that you said that the fivefold ministry, including the evangelist, the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the body of Christ. It takes every facet of these five ministries to get the job done. And God, I recognize after pastoring for 40 years that, God, you've called me into another aspect and another calling, that I have another gift that you put in my life, and that is a calling to evangelize and to hold revivals. And I thank you for what all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you today. You may be seated. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. You always do a wonderful job. Let's give our pianist a good hand clap, would you? All right. I used to be her pastor years and years ago, and she played the piano at the church there and did a super job then. Then my brother come along. He pastored in another church nearby for 15 years, and she worked in the church there with my brother Rudy and did a good job with them as well. All right, I want to talk about Pentecostal priorities today. And I feel like that this is the direction the Lord wants me to go. Let me get situated here. But if you'll think about it, a serious look at the early New Testament church is captivating. It's revealing. It's fascinating. I mean, when you open the pages of this book, we're immediately brought face to face with the power of God, glorifying His Son through the weakness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And it isn't uncommon to read of such great growth patterns as the book of Acts records. Growing our churches is a normal function. That's what is expected. Because look, in Acts 1:15, there was 120. In Acts 2:41, 3,000 were added. In Acts 4:4, our text today, 5,000 more here, see? And then in Acts 5:14, it says multitudes were added to the Lord. Then there's a little slight shift and change. It says in Acts 6:1, the number of the disciples were multiplied. Now they went from addition to multiplication. Acts 6:7, the number of the disciples were multiplied greatly. Praise the Lord. So now we got to ask ourselves a question this morning. What made it work? What did they have that many of us have not yet achieved? I mean, what was it that led them in a short period of time, by one estimate, to win 25,000 of the then 75,000 population of Jerusalem? Imagine, 1/3 of the city was in the church. Wow. Amen. I mean, what was the secret? I mean, the Word of God comes crashing through to us as we look at it from an objective point of view. I believe they simply, one of the simple things about it was they had their priorities in the right order. You see, I believe they put first things first. They understood that the main thing was keeping the main thing the main thing. Would that work in our churches if we could keep the main thing, you know, make the main thing, keep the main thing going? Amen? Wouldn't it? All right. They majored on majors. Unfortunately, some churches major on minors. They think that's more. They'll fight you over it. They're more committed to the minors than they are the majors. Because it's man tradition, a lot of it. But it says they majored on majors here. They did what they had to do when they had to do it, even though they didn't have every physical resource available to them that they should have had. I mean, they didn't have beautiful song books to sing out of. I mean, they didn't have a Hammond organ and a baby grand piano. They didn't have even a PA system. And they didn't have mass communication tools like television, radio, texting. I hope nobody's doing that in church today. Texting, the internet, all the communication tools we have today. Amen. How many came to church to have church? How many knows that the main thing is keeping the main thing during this church service? All right? Amen. And you look, they didn't even have a printing press. How did they do it? I mean, but somehow they turned their world upside down for Jesus. It wasn't unusual to see people filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. It wasn't unusual to be on their way to church and see a lame man that had been sitting outside the gate for 40 years healed by the power of God and getting up and being able to go inside and worship. It wasn't unusual for ignorant and unlearned men who had been crowding behind closed doors to now be out on the streets preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and charging the political leaders with murdering the Christ of God. Oh, you talk about a sermon that was strong. It wasn't unusual for believers to be casting out devils and healing the sick. It wasn't unusual for a Pentecostal preacher by the name of Peter to start down a road or a street, and they would line the street with the sick and the infirm so that by the passing of Peter's shadow, they might be made completely whole by the power of God. It wasn't unusual for the dead to be raised and earthquakes to be prayed down and unbelieving jailers to be prayed through. But the secret was they had their priorities in the right order. Maybe we can learn from them this morning. Number one, they understood their purpose. There's three P's. The first one's purpose. They understood their purpose. What is the purpose of Pentecostal power? Well, Jesus summed it up in John 15:26 when he said, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I shall send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, when he is come, he shall testify of me." Who? Jesus. He'll testify of me, Jesus said. And then he said in John 16:13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall glorify me," Jesus said. And then in John 12, they had these Greeks that came by and said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." Amen. How many come to see Jesus this morning somehow in the service, you know? It is our priority as Pentecostals to present Jesus Christ to all people. We are not Pentecostals just to be Pentecostals. We are Pentecostals to lift up the name of Jesus. Because Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Hallelujah. And the power of Pentecost is to help us to project Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Notice there in Acts, our text, you know, it says, "And with boldness," with great boldness. Hey, you get filled with the Spirit, you got a greater boldness to do the work of the Lord. And those who do not project Jesus Christ and do not understand this as the purpose of Pentecostal power, they mistake the Pentecostal purpose for sure. You show me an individual who claims to be Spirit-filled, but they never have time for a Christ-like conversation, and they never witness to anybody. I'll show you a person that's full of himself and not the Holy Ghost himself. Jesus sent down the Holy Ghost to give us power to continue what? The work he started. And everywhere the disciples went, they had Jesus on their lips and on their tongues. And they remembered that Jesus said that he was, he said, I'm the great I am, because he said, I am the bread of life. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. He basically said, I'm the water of life. I'm the true vine. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he even said on one occasion, before Abraham was, I am. And in their vernacular and their culture of that day, it really meant, I'm God. And that's why they wanted to stone him. Before Abraham, he said, was, I am. My God, think about it. And somehow they got a grip on that. And with the impetus of the Holy Ghost, they lifted off that little launching pad in the upper room and they skyrocketed for God, carrying the name of Jesus higher and higher and higher. They were sold on Jesus Christ, who during the days of his flesh was the Son of Man without sin and the Son of God with power. Oh, Jesus, whom God hath highly lifted up. Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. Jesus, who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Jesus, who is the Lamb of God without spot or blemish. Jesus came down that heavenly stairway to earth, trading his heavenly wardrobe in for swaddling clothes of babyhood, trading heaven for to be born in a cattle trough in Bethlehem's barn. My God, Jesus took off his kingly robes and hung them on a golden coat hanger, and he stepped down that starry staircase, and he took on flesh, and he put on a crown of thorns, and he suffered and bled and died for us on Calvary's bloody brow, and in a cold, dark, rejecting, and unthankful world. Jesus is the authority of God's throne. He is the beauty of God's holiness. He is the cleansing, amen, of God's redemption. Amen. He is the majesty of God's healing throne. He's the ocean of God's fullness. He's the power of God's hand. He's the pity of God's heart. He's the reality of God's presence. He's the surety of God's promises. He's the verity of God's word. Word and truth. If you're going to be Pentecostal, amen, Jesus has got to be center of it all. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you believe that today. Woo, hallelujah. Do you know him? How many know him? You know him? Say amen. Then you know he's the image of the invisible. He's a replica of divine reality. He's the altogether lovely one. Do you know him? Then you know he's plain yet profound. He's simple yet sublime. He's suitable yet serviceable. Do you know him? Amen. Then you know that he reflects the light of God's glory. He reveals the love of God. He releases God's gift of grace. Do you know him today? Then you know he's a mountain without a valley. He's a rose without a thorn. He's health without sickness. He's strength without weakness. He's life without death. He's light without darkness. Do you know him? Then you know in him we live and move and have our being, and he is in all, and he's before all, and he's above all, for he is indeed the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You cannot be truly Pentecostal without Jesus being Lord of all. Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. I don't seem to be scaring the kids any. Maybe they're used to it. All right. I mean, they just look completely normal. How you doing, baby? And the others are coloring or something. They don't even pay no attention. They're not worried about anything. Number one, they understood their purpose. Number two, they recognized their position. Do you know what position it is? Why, it's a biblical position. I'm not kidding. It is a biblical position. Before I get into that, by the way, we're not offshoots of Christianity over here at this Pentecostal church. You say, I never heard nobody say that. Well, why shouldn't I say it? Paul was a Pentecostal. All of the disciples were Pentecostals. And the Gentile Pentecost, which is recorded in Acts 10, Cornelius and his household, the very first Gentiles show up in the book of Acts. I got news for you. They became Pentecostals. So don't you ever let anybody put you down for being a Pentecostal. We're not an offshoot. We're in the mainstream. And the Holy Ghost is being poured out in these last days, the Bible says. Shikabatoshitara Messiah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. The biblical position. These Pentecostal powerhouses of the early church not only knew their purpose, but they knew and recognized their position. Because you see, they knew, for example, Isaiah 28, 11, and 12. They knew that. In fact, Paul quoted it in the New Testament. What's it say? For with stammering lips and another tongue shall he speak unto this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he will cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Oh, if you ever receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know what I'm talking about. It is a rest. It'll cause the weary to be refreshed. It'll keep you going. It'll keep replenishing you day after day. There's nothing like it. And then they knew Joel 2:28, because I know they knew that, because it's in Acts 2, if you read enough. It says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out upon my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit. Says that in Acts 2, too. Matthew 3:11, they remembered. Some of them might have been there, but they remembered John saying, I indeed baptize you with water to repentance, but there's one coming after me who's mightier than I, whose shoes I can't even... And then they remember Jesus in John 7, 37, 39. On that last day, that great day of the feast, all the disciples there, they heard this. Jesus stood up and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he that believeth in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him would afterward receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Christ was not yet glorified. And then they remembered him saying in John 14, verses 16 and 17, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it knoweth him not, neither seeth him not, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. And then we see tongues and interpretation of all places in Mark 5:41. You say, well, I never heard that before. Well, you may hear some things you hadn't heard before today. I tell you what, there's some scriptures that haven't been plumbed yet. I mean, there's a depth yet that none of us have ever attained to. Mark 5:41, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, arise. Somebody had to interpret that statement. And then I see tongues and interpretation again in Mark 5:15-34. And the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the very next chapter, Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. Hey, if Jesus could speak in tongues, who are we to say, I don't need that gift? I don't want to be like Jesus. Huh?
That's a thought, isn't it? Acts 1, verse 4 and 5. And Jesus, being assembled together with them, Acts 1 now, commanded them. I didn't know the Lord commanded. Oh, yeah, He commands us. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, by the way. Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. Now, they heard it all through the time he was there. If you don't believe it, look at Luke 24:49. I mean, he talks about it there. He talks about it all over the place. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Wow. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Next verse. And when he spoke these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Cloud received him out of sight. In other words, the last statement on earth, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why was that the last statement on earth? Because he knew they was going to need the power if they were going to continue his work and build the kingdom. I got news for you. It still takes the power of the Holy Spirit to build the kingdom. And I know that people that are saved in other churches have a measure of the Spirit. Don't ever tell them they don't have the Holy Ghost or don't have the Holy Spirit, because they do have a measure of it. When you get saved, you receive a measure. But this ain't what we're talking about. We're talking about there's another experience. And you can get the fullness of it. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Pentecostals are known around the world as being the most evangelistic. I mean, they've taken countries by storm. Did you know Pentecost is stronger in some countries than other beliefs? Why? Because we just believe it. And when we get this Holy Ghost, we're supposed to evangelize. We're supposed to win souls. You know, it strengthens us. It did in Acts. And so what happened here is then he gave them a command. And he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and to wait for the promise. And they were still gazing up into heaven. They was taken away with this. My, have you ever seen anybody just go up like this? And two angels stood by in white apparel and said, ye men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing? Don't you know he's coming back again? And by the way, you need to get some work done. What did he just tell you to do? Oh, yeah, well, I guess we better go to Jerusalem now. And so I can just see them heading for Jerusalem. It wasn't very far from there. I've been up on Mount Olive, and where he talked about going was just a mile or maybe a little over a mile or a mile over there. And so they walk over there. They get there and go into a house and go into an upper room. It could have been an upper room that had been prepared for banquets and things. Who knows? It must have been of some size. They went up there, and they waited. And on day three, I kind of think they fasted and might have done a total fast. I don't know. I don't think they left there. Because I can see somebody saying, I'd just like to go to Hardee's. No, if you go to Hardee's, the Holy Ghost is going to come back. The promise is going to come back, and you won't be here. Day four or five, wow. Man, let's go to Ryan's Steakhouse or something. We ain't going. We're not leaving here. I'm telling you, it's something's getting ready to happen. He told us to come and tarry, and I'm not leaving this place. And I believe day and night they just laid before God and just waited and waited for the coming. Woo! Hallelujah! And nobody said, well, the service lasted too long. 10 days, 24-7, 24-10. My God, no one wanted to leave. He said, I mean, if you'd have stood and seen Jesus just, there he goes. You think you'd believe him if he said, go and tarry for however long it takes? I believe you would. I believe everybody here would say, got me convinced. Woo! Hallelujah. More blessed are they that believe that have not seen, by the way, folks. Woo! Hallelujah. How many believe that you haven't seen Jesus in the flesh yet, but you believe it? How many believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that? Oh, how more blessed are you. Amen. God's got blessings for you. Now, Bible said in Acts 2, 1 through 4, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, oh, they've been waiting for that suddenly. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Oh, why, dude, can you imagine the excitement? Is it? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire that set upon each of them. Call the fire truck. The upper room's on fire. And all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. All were filled. Now, some people say, well, it isn't for everybody. Hey, you wouldn't have made it on the day of Pentecost. In fact, I doubt if you'd even been up there waiting because you have so much unbelief. Only believers showed up. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Because the purpose of it was to start the church that day, and everybody had to have the power of God in order to be able to carry out the mandate of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, and so, oh, they were biblical. They were biblical. Man, I've got so excited, I about throw my notes away here. Man, hallelujah. You can hang your hat on it. Pentecostals are biblical, and I won't go any further than those scriptures. I could start into the New Testament and bring some more, but we'll leave it right there. Number three, not only did they understand their purpose, and not only did they recognize their position, but number three, they realized their potential. An old Indian struck oil on his reservation, and he became a millionaire many times over. He went out and got a top hat, a tuxedo, bright, shiny black shoes, and the best Cadillac convertible that money could buy. And I can see him in that Cadillac driving downtown every day, waving at everybody. He was so excited to be blessed, to be a multimillionaire. I mean, he was just overwhelmed with it all. And he's uptown waving at people. He'd turn around, wave at kids over there, everybody. Never did run off the road. Because he had two old mules hooked to the front of the Cadillac, pulling his car. There are Pentecostal people that are like that. They got plenty of Pentecostal power, but they're using mule power. Help us, Jesus. How many believe that probably most of us live beneath our privileges in God? We come up short. Sure we do. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, the tragedy is that many people will go to their graves with their music still in them. God help us over here in Normal Church of God. I forget the name of your church, but anyway, it's getting close. New beginnings. Lord help us. Do you know that we have the greatest power available on earth? You say, well, it's not more powerful than a hydrogen bomb. Oh yeah, because you don't understand. You go back to Scripture, is the Holy Spirit that hovered over this earth that put stuff there that they could make a bomb with. I'm telling you that the greatest potential anybody can have on earth is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Amen. And so I don't want to go to my grave with my music still in me. I don't want to go to my grave, amen, and knowing that I could have done more for God. And I went to my grave with my giftings and my anointing still in me, but I somehow knew the Word of God, but I never did obey God's Word and never became all that He wanted me to be for His glory in these last days, to get my family in, to get my kids in, to get my neighbors in, to win souls to Christ and to save people from going to hell. Jesus, shake us up this new year. And let this new year be the greatest year that this church has seen in a long, long time. Handarabashata. Oh, let it start here in this church and let this revival spread around this whole city. Praise God. Amen. Let it be in all the churches. The early church recognized their potential, the power of God within them, And they shook their generation for God and sent shockwaves to every generation since then. And Jesus said, repent, or the Acts 2, 38 said, repent and be baptized, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And for this promise is unto you, that's those that were there, your children, their children, our children, but their children right there. And to those that are far off, who's that? That's the Gentiles in that day. And to all the Lord our God shall call, who's that? That's us. That's you and I. Praise God, it has come all the way down to these days. They said, I'll pour out my spirit in the last days. That's one of the last day promises. And more people are getting the Holy Ghost around the world than has ever happened in the history of mankind. Being filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Jesus, help us. Now, the good news is you don't have to pray the Holy Ghost down no more. Well, do you think we'd have very many people filled if we'd say, well, it's going to take 10 days and nights? Woo! I'm out of here. You know, I mean, I got good news. You don't have to wait 10 days. You can get it right now. Boom, just like that. How do you receive it? By faith. How does the Bible say you get saved? For by grace, through faith, are you saved. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Wow, you mean I can't work and earn getting saved? No, it's a gift. While we were even yet sinners, he died for us. We didn't have nothing. Can I tell you that he just said, repent and be baptized, and ye shall receive the gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost, that means you don't work for it. You can't earn it. In fact, if you're a truly a born-again believer, I don't care what some old biddy says, well, they ain't where they need to be. Well, you might not be where you need to be, you know, I mean. But it's God's business who he fills with the Holy Ghost. And in Acts 19, it says, have you received the Holy Ghost? If you are genuinely born again, if you really are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, whew, you're a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to wait 5 months. You don't have to wait a year for somebody to jump you through hoops trying to get you ready. Were you're really right enough or worthy? Hey, none of us are worthy of nothing. We'd all be on our way to hell if it wasn't for God. And I'm going to tell you, how many of you are filled with the Holy Ghost? Speak in tongues. Ask you a question. Have you sinned since you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Sure you did. I'll wave my hand for all of us. Does the young Christian sin? Yes. Once in a while they do, yes. Do we need the Holy Ghost even though we fail sometimes? Oh, I couldn't live without the Holy Ghost filling my life. Then our young Christians who just got saved need the baptism of the Holy Ghost badly to help them get through. I was praying in one church and somebody got the Holy Ghost and I saw some folks over on the side kind of shaking their head. They couldn't believe it. She couldn't either. She come back every service said, I don't know how I got the baptism. I didn't feel good enough. I didn't, you know, and that's one of the big problems for people to even get the Holy Ghost. I didn't feel good enough. Do you know what happened to that young Christian? Didn't feel good enough? She's on fire today. And she's working for Jesus because she found something. Woo! I tell you what, the baptism of the Holy Ghost will fire up anybody's life. Young Christian, middle-aged, old person. Hey, amen. I was preaching in Houston, Texas in November and had a great service that morning. Come back that night, preached on the Holy Ghost, and 10 people were filled with the Holy Ghost for the very first time. And I'm talking about a young person, I'm talking about middle age. I'm talking about old folks. I'm talking about all ages walked up there, and God filled every one of them with the Holy Ghost. Would you give the Lord praise for that? Isn't that something? Hallelujah! Praise God. He shut up my night. Well, I want to use a little illustration here that I think this will bring it all home to us here. And that is, you remember that Acts 4 experience? Peter was there, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Obviously, again. I want to use an illustration, but I think generally speaking, this illustration I'm going to give you works, okay? I think it works in our Pentecostal church, and I think it's typical. Listen to it. Let's just say up here in this area here is, we're going to represent something hanging here. We're going to call this, there's four D's I want to share with you. Dove. Did you know dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit? How many knows that? A dove came down when Jesus baptized, you know. A dove represents, I don't see a dove, I'm looking for one, but anyway. This area here represents a dove. Let's say this pulpit area here represents the second D, desert. The third D is, let's say, devils, demons. We'll just use this area here. I'm not talking about the piano or the organist. It's not. I'm not saying there's demons in music or anything. I'm just using this as an illustration. Here's over here. Now, down in here is deliverance, the fourth D. All right, here's how it works in our churches. We get saved. We get saved. Let's just use it. Let's put the deal. Dove. We get saved, we come to the dove, and he fills us with the Holy Ghost, right? We speak in tongues, we're filled. But then, as a spirit-filled person, we go through the desert. How many have ever had a desert experience? Oh, was it dry? Was it hot? Was it a fiery trial? Was it, you just were exhausted. And you're going through the desert, and you say, oh. And you know what happens to you? You leak. You leak, and you have to come back and get an Acts 4 again. You get back to the dove and be filled. And then you say, well, I believe I can make it through the desert. And you start through the desert, and it gets dry, and you just can't make it. Oh, and you leak, and you have to go back and be filled. And finally, you learn how to walk by faith through the desert. And then you come over in this demonic area here, and you start going through demons and devils. Oh, and you leak. You can't hardly stand it. And you have to go back to dove. Praise the Lord. Amen. Fills you. Go on through the desert back over to and make it back over here. And can't stand the heat. Don't know how to fight, to handle it. Come back. Of course, you leaked and you're being filled again. And you come back and you know how to use the name of Jesus. Amen. To have power over the devil. Does that sound like us, some of us, huh? Some of you feel a little empty today? Well, you leaked. You maybe went through a desert experience. Anybody go through a desert experience in the last year? Maybe sometime or another. Anybody feel like you've been through some demons and devils anytime last year? Huh? Well, it's a new year. We need to be filled. If we're running a little low, we need to be filled. Because if you can make it through the desert, and you can make it through demons and devils, you're going to get into deliverance. Woo, hallelujah. There's going to be deliverance in your life. You're going to be able to pray deliverance for other people's lives. He taught, but I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Praise God. Nothing shall by any means harm you. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that shall I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He said, use my name. In my name you shall cast out devils. In my name, amen, you pray for people now speaking tongues. In my name the sick will be healed. Woo! And some of us wonder, why don't things work? Well, we're back in the desert. We're leaking the power of the Lord. We run into a demonic force of some kind, and we leak. You got to go back and be filled. Hallelujah. You got to, listen, here's what I want to do. I want to pray for people. Me and Carolyn will pray for people this morning. And when we pray, if you need an Acts 2, that means you've never spoken tongues before. We'll pray for you to be filled. If you come up here and you say, Acts 4, I know what you're talking about. Because there's one baptism, but there's many fillings. Hallelujah. Have you ever, as a Holy Ghost-filled Christian, ever felt like you weren't as full? Ever felt like you were a little weak? Oh, yeah. I just explained it to you. And you ain't ever seen nothing like that, have you? I just explained it to you. This is what happens. How many want to get into deliverance and into victory and into more power? Do you want that for your family? You want that for your life? You want that for your children? Let us bow our heads in prayer. Amen. Pastor, if you got, I don't know what you do during an altar call. Do you have the organist? Do you have music played back there? Do they have music, soft music? Do we have some soft music of any kind? Yeah, just play some soft music. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Lord, help us, Lord, to avail ourselves of the opportunity that the early church folks, the disciples, availed themselves of. They showed up. They left Mount Olives, where Jesus ascended, and they went to Jerusalem as they were told and commanded by the Lord, because they believed. They tarried 10 days because they believed. And Lord, help us, if we're truly believers, to come forward and not only believe, but like the early church, let us receive the wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, to be filled with His presence, to be anointed, be gifted with His presence in our life, making us more effective than we could ever be without it, because we're filled with the precious Holy Ghost. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's people in this church that need to be filled again. They need to come back and be filled again. Oh, Jesus, help us to be all that we can be this year for God. I believe this church is truly looking at new beginnings this year. It's took them these last 3 years to get to here. And now, God, you send an evangelist in to preach the truth. Oh, katamashatomasiya. God, to help this church move into deliverance, move out of just being in a desert, move through just being fighting demons and devils. And we'll do all of that as we go along in life. But Lord, help us, God, to be all that we can be. Help us to be all that we can be in the Lord and through the power of the Holy Ghost, that we can reach our families, that God, that we can pray for someone and see them healed, and that God, that we can see somebody that's bound down, even perhaps today, with addictions, and see them delivered and set free this morning and walk out of here completely free of that addiction. Oh, Jesus, help us today to move at the new beginnings. It's new beginnings. Took 3 years to get here. New beginnings. This year is really going to happen, I believe. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. The Bible says, shall I not do a new thing? Oh, Rikata Messiah. A new thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to get in the flow of your plan, your will, your power, your presence, your purpose, your potential that you put in each of us to be all we can be for God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? There are those of you that need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2. There are those of you that need to come back and come walking in faith to get an Acts 4 experience. Oh, and let God fill you up again. Let Him fill you to capacity. Because along the way, the enemy has fought you and you perhaps have leaked some of the presence and power of God has slipped out of your life. And God, we want to be all we can be this year for our church, for ourselves, for God, for our family, for our friends. God, we want to be our best this year because this could be the very year that you're coming. I know the Mayan Indians think this is a 2012 is it. At least their calendar stopped at 2012. Nostradam, I don't know about how saved he was, but he thought 2012 was it. But Lord, no man knows the day nor the hour. And I don't think they know that it's 2012. But you could come at any time. Your coming is near at hand. And I want to be ready when you come. And when you come, I want to be faithful, found faithful, as the scripture says. Shall he find faithfulness in the earth when he comes? Oh, Lord, help us to be faithful. Hallelujah. If there's a gift that we haven't, if we have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then we have a responsibility before the Lord to come and hunger and thirst after more of God. I think everybody here can say, I want more of God. I want more of God. Give me more of your presence. Give me more of your power. Oh, Lord, help my faith. Build my faith, Lord, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says in Jude. Oh, hallelujah. If you haven't spoken tongues in a while, you need to come and let God fill you according to Acts 4 and let you be filled afresh and anew. You ought to be speaking in tongues every day. It ought to be part of your prayer language. Paul said, I pray with my understanding and I pray with the Spirit. And meaning he prayed, you know, in our case, we pray it in English, but then we could also pray in tongues. Building up your most holy. Why wouldn't it build up your most holy faith if you know God's talking through you? My God, that's powerful. Did you know that when you speak in tongues, it's the gateway to the supernatural? I'm not glorifying tongues. I'm just saying that it's an invitation to the supernatural of God when you speak in tongues. Oh, in the Spirit we speak mysteries. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great things are spoken in the Spirit of God because He knows the perfect will of God. How would you like to pray a prayer when you don't know how to pray and know you're praying the perfect will of God every time, 100 times out of 100 times? Because when you speak in tongues and by the Spirit of God, you are praying the perfect prayer to God. Hallelujah. 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 In fact, I don't even think the devil, I know on the day of Pentecost they could understand in their own language because God determined that they would do that. But I don't even believe, according to the scriptures, I don't even believe that, you know, what is it that they do whenever you've got a computer and you don't want them to know your information? What's that called? It's encryption. I believe that when you get the Holy Spirit and you begin to speak in tongues, I believe it's encrypted. Hallelujah. It goes directly to God where it's supposed to go. And the devil says, oh no, they're doing it again. I don't know what's going on. Hallelujah. Praying in the Spirit, they speak mysteries. No man understandeth. Hallelujah. And so right now, how many can say to me today, you know, I'm feeling a little lacking. I need more. How many would say, I need more from God? Would you raise your hand? I need more. I'm not sure if I'm completely filled. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Not completely filled. There's some of you that have never been filled. If you'll join this line, we'll pray for you. I see people fill the Holy Ghost very often, very quickly. I just give God the praise. I said to my home church, and this lady come up for prayer at West City, where Carol and I go to church. Harold Whitlock's the pastor. And when there's anybody needing the Holy Ghost, he'll give us that signal. You know, he wants me and Carolyn to pray. And so he was praying for this lady, and she's the sister of the lady that's on the platform, Velma's sister. She's been in church for years and years and years and years. Praying for her healing need, and he said, I don't know what made the pastor say this. Maybe just the Spirit of God. He said, have you ever spoken tongues? She said, no. Would you like to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes. It shocked everybody. He motioned, went over, laid hands on her. And within, I would say, a minute or two at the most, God filled that precious lady with the Holy Ghost just the other day in the service. And it shocked everybody. They thought she had the baptism, been in church all her life. Listen, you can receive. It's by faith. It's for through grace. I said, I kind of like the way it says it. You know, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. I like to say it this way. For by grace are you filled with the Holy Ghost through faith. Because if it wasn't for grace, you wouldn't have nothing to have faith in. If it wasn't, grace also means gift. If it wasn't for the gift of the Holy Ghost, you'd have nothing to pray for. So, with your faith. So, for by grace, can you by grace just get out of your seat and start down this way, the grace of God, and say, I'm coming to get either an Acts 2 or an Acts 4 from God. I need more facing this year. I need more from God than I've ever had in my life. In Jesus' name, those of you raised your hand, would you please come?